More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, stop settling. Tired of settling in some part of your life or relationships? Well, we're going to help you level up and start celebrating a more abundant life. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, stop settling. We're talking about that tendency to just sort of accept what is. And especially when we feel like we're not sure how to move things forward to where we'd like them to be in some part of our life or relationships. And there is, and we'll talk about the difference here, there is the virtue, of course, of dying to oneself. But that's different from settling, and we'll explore that throughout the show today. But is there some part of your life or relationships where you feel like you need to level up? Let us help you start celebrating a more abundant life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
You know, maybe it's those times where you just go, when you have to see somebody that you're in relationship with, you know, whether that's your mother or your adult child or your spouse is coming home at the end of the day, and you're just thinking, okay, here we go again. And it's not necessarily bad. It's just kind of draining, maybe a little numbing, or just not what your heart is really longing for. And you don't know how to get to where your heart is longing for. Because most often, especially when we're people who believe in God, have a faith, try to live it out in some way, those longings of our hearts are actually promptings from the Holy Spirit to cooperate with God, to move on to a better, more fulfilling, holier, happier, healthier place in our lives and our relationships.
Yeah, and I think, though, that the temptation for us when we can't necessarily see a way forward is to feel like, okay, well, the Christian thing to do then is just to give this up and die to myself and accept that this is the way it needs to be. This is what God wants. And I think it's not as straightforward as that. I think it's much clearer, like you said, that we need to bring these desires to God and ask Him to teach us what to do with that. But we'll unpack that throughout the program. For now, we're asking, you know, do you feel like maybe you are settling in some part of your life or relationships? Do you wish that you could get more out of your personal or emotional life? Or have a happier, more rewarding marriage or more fulfilling family life? Maybe you feel stuck in your work or your role, and you're just not getting out of it what you were hoping to, but you're not quite sure what more there might be to work toward. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's someone you care about who you feel is settling in their life or relationships, and you're not sure how to encourage them to open up to new possibilities. Let us help you take the next small step toward the abundant life that God has in store for all of us. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. And I think that, you know, this whole question of settling really comes down to an even more foundational question about discernment. You know, how do I know what God is calling me to? What kind of relationship should I have with the longings and the desires of my heart? You know, how do I test those things, and how do I keep remaining faithful to those callings that are from the Lord? You know, and you know, just really relating to all that stuff goes into the whole question of settling.
And I think that when we begin to ask that question about what does God really want, how do I get to this place, it also brings up a lot of wounds, a lot of blockages that maybe other people or circumstances in our lives have put there. Oh, our family doesn't work, you know, my family of origin doesn't work to have a more fulfilling life. Our family doesn't talk about feelings, so I have no way to move forward with what I feel I need in my life. I'm somehow betraying the way I was raised if I try to move forward in my life and my relationships in any way. So Satan will use a lot of those old wounds and patterns that are in our lives to shut down us responding to the promptings of the Holy Spirit that says, no, I have a more abundant life for you. So if you're listening today on More to Life, we ask you to give us a call at 877-573-7825 and let us help you discern what your next steps may be or how you can help someone you love move forward because you see that they're stuck and settling for less than they deserve and you don't know what to do about it. Again, that number is 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825.
And of course, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And you know, you might be wondering, well, what could some theology have to do with this question of settling and help me kind of clarify my relationship with all that stuff? Well, it turns out a lot, because St. John Paul really asked the question when he was Pope, what would it look like for the Catholic person to thrive? What would it look like for us to, as Catholics, build healthy, holy relationships that really witness to the power and grace and love of God? And his answer to those questions became what people now call the theology of the body.
The theology of the body reminds us that God has a plan to fulfill the deepest longings of our hearts for a love that doesn't fail, for relationships that are fulfilling, and for a life that reflects the power of God's grace. The world is broken, but God has chosen us, his children, to cooperate with his grace to make things the way God intends them to be once again.
And St. John Paul reminded us that we need to keep our eyes on not what we think is possible through our own power, but on what God wants to make of our lives and relationships. You know, our job is to really stop being intimidated about how little we can change on our own, and instead courageously lean into God's grace and the vision that he has for our lives so that we can become what he created us to be and build his kingdom.
Sometimes Christians struggle with this because they confuse, as we were mentioning earlier, the idea, the virtue of dying to oneself, and they're not the same thing as just, you know, giving up or moving along. Dying to oneself means acknowledging that even though God wants to make things better, we don't know on our own power how to make that happen. In fact, the more we try to improve our lives and relationships under our own power, the worse things tend to get. Dying to ourselves, then, means surrendering our plans for making things better, not the God-given desire to make things better.
Yeah, so the best place to start is really to bring our desire for greater fulfillment in any area of our life to God first, you know, praying, you know, Lord, if this desire is truly from you, then please let it remain. But if it's not, then please take it away. And if it remains, I know that you want to make more of this, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do to make it happen. So teach me, show me what you want me to do and make me willing to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, God wants to use our longings once we've tested them and are sure that they're from him to draw us closer to him, even while he works through us to make the world a little bit more of what he created it to be. So let's talk about what it looks like to stop settling in your life, your relationships. 877-573-7825.
And you know, as we're talking about this, Greg, and you're sharing, you know, everybody needs to use their own words, but this idea of bringing this all to God. One of the things I know that God wants to heal each and every single one of us from is this idea that we cannot approach him with the desires of our hearts or our need to move forward in our lives. Until, like, we can't approach him and say, well, I've done it now. you know, we all have a tendency to think we can't approach God unless we prove ourselves first. And that's never what God wants from us. He always wants us to take our desires, our confusions, our frustrations, and bring them to his heart. To just cry on his chest and say, Lord, I feel like you want me to do X, Y, and Z. This desire is on my heart, but I have no experience in this. I have no idea how to get here, and I'm really kind of scared. And I need you to be able to show me how to do this. And as you were saying, Greg, help me have the will to do this in a way that's going to cooperate with you.
Yeah, and this is something that I think everybody needs to learn to do, to really bring those desires to God and ask him to teach us how to meet them in ways that glorify him. So let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Let's bring our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your questions. In the name of
the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you, and we bring to you those situations where we feel unsatisfied in our life, our work, our relationships, where we have this longing for more. And first, Lord, we bring to you those desires to make that relationship stronger, to make this situation more rewarding, to discover your path. We bring those longings to you, and we ask that you would take anything away that is not from you. But anything that remains, show us how to relate to it. Teach us how you want to respond to those longings, so that we, even when we can't figure out a way forward, can lean into your grace and recognize that with you all things are possible. Help us to die to ourselves in healthy ways, in ways that allow us to surrender our plans, but be open to you teaching us how you want to fulfill those longings of our hearts in ways that actually build your kingdom and make the world a little bit more of what you created it to be. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Stop Settling, as we talk about the tendency that we all have to just sort of go along and say, well, this is, I guess, just the way it is. But, you know, as Christians, we're really called to bring all of that to God and ask, well, what, Lord, do you want to make of this? Because we are always participating in God's plan for renewing the world and making it more of what he created it to be.
Yeah, because it's not selfish. It's part of that plan.
That's right. So let's talk about what that plan looks like in your life and relationships. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Sean, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Sean, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate the topic today. Speaking right to me. All the things. Surrendering my own will. Trying to get out of my own way. The death of self. I have been discerning a vocation to the monastic life for almost 3 years now. Mm-hmm. I have a full-time job, never married, no kids, currently not dating, decent career, could drive me into retirement and live a decent life. But I've been trying to answer this call for many years, but 3 years been seriously moving into praying for direction and just simply asking God to take the wheel. So I struggle with that because I'm so self-sufficient and strong-minded and, let's be honest, stubborn, that it's like I get to a point where I feel like I'm surrendering, and then I just kind of get in my own way and take control back again.
What does that look like, practically speaking?
But
So you're trying to, I get the impression you're asking, you know, how do you figure out maybe the next steps in your discernment process, or what's the specific question?
Yeah, definitely. Or maybe some tools and tricks to stay on track.
Well, and so tell me a little bit more about what is it, when you say, you know, I think I'm surrendering, but then I take it back. What does that mean, practically speaking?
So I feel like, As I get into a routine, if I'm doing daily mass, Divine Mercy at 3, another rosary at 7, prayer before meals, going through, checking the boxes, trying to live as close to the schedules as the brothers in the monastery that I hope to join one day. And so by establishing that routine and getting into that consistent prayer, work, prayer life, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. or a let Obora.
Yeah.
So just trying to do that out here while juggling all the real life things and complications and struggles and issues in the real world. So I feel like I have one foot in each side, and I just don't know where to commit, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, but when you say that you surrender and then you take it back, mm-hmm. like what does the surrendering look like, and what does the taking it back look like?
Surrendering is saying, hey, I'm going to ask God for guidance and just go through my routine and try not to worry or try not to plan. Okay, I'm going to go into the monastery in 1 year from today. You know, that's my time. That's not God's time. And mm-hmm. so if I'm having a good day or maybe a couple good days, then something, I feel like I just get sucked back into the worldly life and desires of, okay, well, maybe I should be getting married. Maybe I should be dating. Maybe I should be saving money and investing money and doing other things in the community. And then I just, I don't know if that makes
sense.
Well,
yeah, yeah. So obviously I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I can offer some thoughts on how you can begin to discern some of those next steps. I think be careful of the shoulds in this. You know, when you say I should be married or I should be this or I should be a, you know, it's more a question of not so much should I be doing this, but what do I feel God is placing on my heart? And the other piece of this that I think is important, you know, you're trying to live that monastic rule outside of monastic community. And so that's you're inevitably going to fail there, because it's not just about, okay, I say these prayers at these times of day. It's really about the relationship that we cultivate with God and the community of faith in that brotherhood, you know, right? So whether the call is to monastic life or family life, that's the same idea here. It's about the relationship, right? It's how do I respond to God's call and grow closer to God in the community that I'm called to be part of? And so just kind of doing it on your own, you're not going to be able to have that clear discernment, because an important piece of that is how do I fit with the community? And so I think that the next step would be praying about what should your relationship with the community that you're discerning for be at this point. You know, should you be, you know, spending more time at the monastery or whatever their process is? Should you actually enter into it for a time of, you know, discernment for a certain period of months? You know, but what is God calling you to in terms of the relationship? You know, and if you feel as you pray about that, well, you know, what I'm really being, I feel like I'm being called into relationship with a woman, you know, to start a marriage and family life, you know, but it's about really not just discerning the tasks that God's calling me to, but the kind of relationship God is calling me to that would bring out those qualities, those virtues in me that would help me become who he created me to be and do the work he created me to do.
And truly feel fulfilled in him and walking with the Holy Spirit. So, for example, you're going to have to check it yourself if it touches, you know, a sense in you. But I know, because we had a guest on from the Theology of the Body Institute, they're doing a discerning marriage retreat, which is a very new thing to do. So you might even want to take a weekend to do that as well, so you can compare what is God saying to you in that retreat as compared to when you take some time in the formation process with the brothers that you're discerning. So you're gathering that information, but you're praying through all of it, saying to God, God, number one, I want to live as close to you as I can and truly grow in my relationship with you. And then number two, show me the community you want me to live my life in, where I can be a blessing and be blessed by them, and we can be the community that serves and loves each other and you.
But I think you've gone as far as you can go on your own, right? So the next piece is really praying about, you know, what kind of relationship does God want me in that would really allow me to bless others the most with the gift that he's given me and be blessed by others that would bring out what God is calling in me? And that, you know, could involve even, you know, dating, you know, at this point, or you know, leaving yourself open to that. But you're too solitary right now, and you've gotten a good sense of, you know, kind of what you might be called to. But until you're really engaging in those relationships in a more direct and meaningful way, and then praying about those relationships, I don't think you're going to have a clearer sense of what the next step might be. So start there, and see if that doesn't give you greater clarity. I'm going to also recommend the work of Father Tim Gallagher, who has done a lot on Ignatian discernment. And in my book as well, The Life God Wants You to Have, which really kind of walks through some additional steps in discernment that they can be really helpful to you here. But John, thank you so much for the call. Thank you for your openness to the Holy Spirit, and I hope that these suggestions will get you down the next steps. And if there's more we can do to support you in that journey, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We can certainly explore those things in more depth with you. And with that, we have to take a break. When we come back, more with your calls at 877-573-7825 on our show today titled Stop Settling, as we talk about how to stop accepting being stuck or dissatisfied, and how do we find what God is calling us to and how to get there. 877-573-7825. In addition to taking your calls, when we come back, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins, who's the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. She'll be sharing some insights on discernment. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Are you struggling with a persistent emotional or relationship problem? Maybe those thoughts and feelings won't leave you alone, or your marriage has grown distant, or a wound from your past still aches. Too many of us tell us that we should be able to handle it alone, or that good Catholics shouldn't need help. That's not true. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. My team of pastoral counselors will help you find solutions rooted in solid psychology and our Catholic faith, so you don't have to choose between getting real help and staying true to what you believe. Visit CatholicCounselors.com and discover how we can help your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show titled Stop Settling, as we talk about stopping settling into some part of your life or relationships. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She's the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. Hey, Rachel, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. I'm glad to be here.
It's great to have you here, and I think that you're joining us at a really good time, because this is something, you know, your family's gone through several times in your life where maybe something has happened, a decision has been made in work, family life, whatever it is, and you're feeling a little disappointed in it. Like God maybe didn't come through in the way you were hoping for. What do we do then?
Oh, this happened this weekend to the Watkins family. Matthew works in D.C. We live in Elkton. It's a long way apart. He got offered an opportunity just like 10 minutes away from us, half an hour, and we couldn't take it. It was a cut in pay, and as we looked at our budget, we weren't looking to afford a trip to Hollywood or, you know, vacation. No, we were looking to afford groceries and gas.
Sure.
And we came to the decision that he had to take a pass on that. And a peace descended on us. It was a sad peace, though. We both wanted it, but it couldn't work out logistically. And so we then went forward, and we said to each other, as we're praying about this and talking about it and pencil and papering the budget together, Matthew said, you know, I wish I could give you this, but I can't. What can I give you instead? And that brought such joy to my heart. And that might be where you are as you're settling maybe for a loneliness or an ache, that something wasn't given to you, that you don't feel that God has watched over you. Take that to him. and take that to a dear loved one to say, there's something missing. I'm not getting what I need. And God wants to give you everything. He wants to give you all good things. So the prayer then becomes, Lord, I didn't get what I want, but what do you have waiting for me? And it
and
might
how
be,
do, and you were saying earlier to me before we were on air, the idea of, Lord, what is the underlying need here? Because sure, it would have been great. You know, Matthew would have been closer if the salary was great, everything. But you could also just throw away that 2 hours, 4 hours a day that you were getting back. But we were saying what we really are is missing each other. So how do we meet that need when the circumstances aren't changing? What are we neglecting that we could actually really focus on, right?
Exactly. And that's what happened. Matt and I were saying, okay, what do we need from each other? And we realized that we had let a little few things fall off the table. You know, that in his long commute, we had stopped dating. And we can, like adult, you know, we have kids who can watch themselves. But we hadn't done that in a while. So then we made a commitment once again to, we're going to go out once a month somewhere, you and I by ourselves. In your own family, if you look at it, is it that you guys stopped having dinner together? Maybe you had a routine of playing games or just no technology Tuesday. So when you find yourself in a point of loneliness, ask God to find out what it's about.
Rachel, thanks so much for being with us. I think this is a perfect example of what we're talking about when it comes to dying to ourselves. It doesn't mean dying to the desire for more. It means dying to the plan that I had and being open to what God is asking me to do to pursue those longings he's placed on our heart. 877-573-7825. Back after this.
The Holy Eucharist is fulfillment for the present day and a taste of heavenly glory. The Catholic Catechism quotes an ancient prayer of the Church, which says in part, O sacred banquet in which Christ is received as food, the memory of the Passion is renewed, the soul is filled with grace, and a pledge of the life to come is given to us. Jesus pointed this fact out to his apostles at the Last Supper, indicating the fulfillment of his passion, death, and resurrection in the kingdom of God. I tell you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Though we know Christ's real presence is in our midst now, that presence is veiled. So we wait and pray for the day when our Savior comes again and we will see our God as he is. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Let us strive to know the Lord. Quick question to you and me right now. Is that what you and I are doing every single day? When you and I wake up every day, do we strive to know Jesus? Or not? In the Old Testament, in the same book of Hosea, a little bit later on, it's in chapter 14, the Lord says through the prophet, my people perish. Or in another translation, my people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Not a lack of data. We got tons of data. Not a lack of information. We got a lot of information. Not just about things that are happening in the world. We got a lot of data, a lot of knowledge, a lot of information about God, but not a lot of intimacy with God. Not a lot of relationship with God, not a lot of friendship. That's the cry of God's heart. God wants to give himself to us in the incredible gift of friendship, and we're not taking advantage of it.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Ever feel like you're standing at a crossroads and every direction looks the same? Well, here's something that can help cut through the confusion. In my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, I explain that we can discern God's will by leaning into three qualities: meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. When you're weighing a decision, ask yourself which option gives you the greatest chance to use your gifts for the good of others, which one will make your relationships closer, healthier, and stronger, even if that means setting boundaries, and which one will help you become a more physically, mentally, spiritually, and relationally healthier, holier, integrated person. The choice that scores highest on all three? That's the direction grace is pulling you. You don't need a burning bush to know what God's will is. You just need a better compass. For more tips on discovering God's plan when you feel stuck, see The Life God Wants You to Have, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Stop Settling. It's the title of the show, as we talk about those times when we're tempted to just sort of settle in some part of our life or relationships. You know, we have on some level a sense that we wish things could be better or more or different. But then we feel stuck because we don't know how to make it happen on our own power, or whether we even should. You know, I run into a lot of clients through CatholicCounselors.com who are like, well, you know, I want a better marriage, or I want a better family life, or I want to be happier in my life. I want to have a healthier relationship with my feelings or whatever. But I don't know how to have it happen. So maybe I'm being greedy or selfish or, you know, too demanding, and that what God is asking me to do is just sort of accept that this is the way it is. And of course, we should bring all of our desires to God first and say, Lord, if this isn't from you, then please take it away. But here's the part where we fall down is, if it doesn't go away, we just keep getting stuck on that because, well, I don't see how to fulfill it. So maybe that isn't what God wants, but the feeling's still there. And
Satan will figure out a way to shame us about it at some point. So then we really feel like it's wrong, and it becomes a mess.
So, you know, St. John Paul, in his Theology of the Body, really talks about the importance of bringing those desires to God. And if they do remain, recognizing that he has a plan to fulfill those desires, not questioning and not doubting it. Certainly, as Rachel was talking about in her segment, dying to ourselves in terms of our belief in our own ability to fulfill these desires in a healthy or appropriate or rewarding way, but rather being open then to how God might want to do it. And it's often a very different but always more rewarding approach than we could even come up with. So let's talk about what that means for your life. Do you feel like you're settling in some part of your life or a relationship? Do you wish that you could get more out of your personal or emotional life, or have a happier, more rewarding marriage, or more fulfilling family life, a deeper spiritual life? Or do you feel stuck in your work or role but aren't sure what more there is? Or maybe it's somebody you care about who you feel is settling in a relationship or settling in some part of their life, and you're not sure how to encourage them to open up to new possibilities. Let's talk about it and help you take the next steps toward the abundant life that God has in his heart for you. 877-573-7825.
We have a question that came in from Rosalind, in Tennessee. And she says, my husband and I have been married for 22 years, and I think most people would say we have a good relationship. We don't fight. We respect each other. We split chores. We're both involved with the kids. I'm really happy about all of that. But sometimes I wish there was a little more romance or playfulness. I heard a talk online the other day about how people need to learn to be happy with what God has given us instead of always striving for more. And that made sense to me. And it reminded me to be grateful for what God's given me and my husband. How would you reconcile the need to be grateful with what you're saying about not settling? And that's Rosalind in Tennessee.
Yeah, I think that's a
great question.
It is a great question. And I guess the short answer is we need to stop polarizing those things, right? What I mean by that is, you know, I can either be grateful or I can pursue this longing in my heart.
And a lot of it comes down to, like, being a school kid. It's like, what do I have to do to be good? For God to think I'm doing the right thing, to be good, to somehow, it's an old phrase, but to earn that Scooby snack from God, that pat on the head. I've relinquished all my desires. God will be happy with me. I've pursued this till the ends of the earth. God will be happy for me to do this because I've shown perseverance. But it's not about really being in relationship with him or discerning the desires he's put on our hearts. It's just, I will be this object that will make God happy in this way, and then when it doesn't happen rightly, we get frustrated.
Yeah, but you know, you can be grateful and pursue a more fulfilling relationship, and I think that's what God is calling us to. We in fact, in a lot of times, we can't build unless we recognize the goods that we have, right? I mean, so for example, you know, I think Rosalind, your attitude is exactly right here. You're taking stock of all the good things that you have in your relationship, and you're saying, I'm really pleased about that. I'm grateful for those things.
And you're able to say, there's good here. I don't have to wait till my marriage is falling apart to pursue better in that marriage.
Now, if you were taking a different approach and you were saying, you know, because we don't have that romance and playfulness, all the rest of it's garbage. You know?
Yeah, very good point.
I mean, if you were approaching it that way, well, I'd probably be challenging you on that gratitude thing that you're talking about here. But you are. You're grateful for what God has given you, but you're also recognizing that there's room to grow. And that's not selfish. You know, in fact, we did a talk on the Good News Cruise last year about the spirituality of romance. That you know, that God wants us to witness to his love and also how he cherishes us. So, you know, you're describing a lot of the way you take care of each other. You know, that you don't fight, you respect each other, you split the chores, you're involved with the kids, you're a good partnership, right? There's a real solid friendship there that communicates the love that you have for each other. But romantic love is how we communicate, how we cherish each other. And the difference between loving and cherish, loving is working for the ultimate good of a person. Cherishing them is letting them know how special they are to you. And God doesn't just love us, he cherishes us as well. And he wants our relationships to reflect that love and cherishing. And I think that the call that you have on your heart is legitimate. It's what God wants for all of his married couples to be able to witness to. Now, how do you do it? I haven't the foggiest idea, but I...
them in particular.
Yeah, exactly. That's
right.
What I'm saying.
For
yeah,
them in
right.
particular.
So there's not a 10-step prescription for here's how you get the spark back or here's how you get... There are things you can certainly do. We've written, you know, books on that kind of thing.
But every couple experiences romance and, as you know, Rosalind is saying here, playfulness and that connection, that spark, in different ways. So it's that couple's job to explore.
Yeah,
that.
Because like I could say, well, you know what, you really need to have a monthly date night, like Rachel Watkins was just talking about. But maybe you can't pull that off because of the obligations you've got, or maybe
that's not enough, and you will not thrive unless you have a weekly date night, or you're making sure you're connecting every single day. But it's yours to discern as a couple,
right? And so the first step really is going to your husband and praying together, if you're not already, you know, Lord, thank you for the relationship you've given us, for the partnership we have, for the friendship that we enjoy. But Lord, there's also this longing for a little more closeness, a little more romance, a little more playfulness. Show us how to do that, to really love each other the way you want us to, in all the ways that means. You know, help us to see how to take advantage of the little moments in today, to show up for each other, to be there for each other, to love each other the way you want us to not just work for each other's good the way we are, but to cherish each other, to let each other know how special and precious we are to each other, just like we are special and precious to you. And make that prayer part of your daily prayer as a couple, where you're giving your relationship to God and those longings of your heart to God and saying, you know, how do we fulfill this? And then you really talk, use that prayer time as a discussion, a springboard for discussions about what that would look like. And you guys are going to figure that out for what that means in your marriage. You know, it's not going to be, well, you know, the pop checks gave you six suggestions yeah. and you had to check the boxes. It's, you know, we recognize that this call for deeper cherishing and romance and playfulness in the relationship really is a godly and good thing. We just need to really talk to God every day and each other every day to figure out how to do it for us. You know, and again, if you're looking for more ideas, then books like Are for Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage can really help. And even praying for and with your spouse, The Way to Deeper Love, which really talks about how to discern all this stuff. But ultimately, there isn't a cookie-cutter approach to it. So you and your husband have to be praying and discussing, how do we attend to this longing that God's placed on my heart? Which leads to the question, I guess, how do I know that this longing is from God? Well, number one, is it challenging you to pursue a good thing? Would it be good for you, and not just for you and your husband, but for, you know, for your kids to see you guys in love with each other, for your neighbors, for the other people in Paris to see that it's not just that you have a good friendship, but that you really are deeply in love with each other after 22 years of marriage.
Yeah.
I think anybody would say yes to that.
And that's not putting on airs. That's because you're really working on it and it's really shining through for you. And even if it is just for you and your husband, you're living in a sacrament. So it is pursuing a virtuous and good thing to draw closer to each other and have more romance and more playfulness and more joy in your life.
So if it is a good thing and it would yield good fruit to pursue it, then it's reasonable to say that this is a good and godly thing. It's not me being selfish, it's me pursuing the cherishing that God wants for all of our relationships. Now we just need to figure out what that looks like for us. So don't squash that longing. recognize, I think, that that is a call from the Holy Spirit to remind you guys that yes, you are friends, and that friendship is beautiful and good and life-giving, but you're more than friends. You are lovers. You are husband and wife.
And you're living a sacrament.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful, mysterious, wonderful grace that you are living every day. And I appreciate so much, and I want to make sure we're not kind of drifting over it, because most couples are not praying together. And if they are, it's sort of mixed up with very rote prayers, or they're very like pious, like we'll pray for our children and we'll pray for this, but we're not really taking the heart of our own lives and of our own marriage in this very personal way to God. And that has got to be your first step. Because first of all, he's going to help you pursue those very good things. And he wants to bless the sacrament of your marriage day in and day out. This wasn't a just standing in front of the priest kind of thing. This is a thing that you live out every day in your sacrament. So praying together first, developing that prayer time together, that's going to be the first thing to fulfill the longing of your heart to be closer to your husband. Because the two really do become one in marriage, but we become more one every time we share prayer together in Christ. We bring Christ into it. We've got that three-ply chord going on, and he wants to direct our path.
And I don't want this to sound like you're knocking formal prayer in any way, because that's
not
the point.
No.
But I think that if you're going to, you know, to use formal prayer properly in this context, it would be, for example, as you're praying through the mysteries of the rosary, you're reflecting on what that's calling you to as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
In the challenges that you're facing that you can identify with as you're praying through this, right? So it's you're entering into whatever prayer form you're using,
more
whether it's
deeply.
More spontaneous or more formal prayer, doesn't really matter. What matters is that you are bringing your heart to it in the sense of, you know, Lord, use this prayer that I'm making, this spiritual practice that I'm engaging in, as a way of enlightening my heart on how to pursue this goal that you've placed on my heart.
And to really do that together, and then discuss what did we each get as we reflected on this in prayer. And so praying together is truly always going to be the first step to getting that desire of our hearts to be closer to our spouse and each of us to be closer to God fulfilled.
So the takeaway from your call here is yes, I believe that this longing for more playfulness and romance in the relationship is a good and godly thing and will be worthwhile pursuing. And the next step is really praying together with your husband about what that would look like. Now, if you're starting to do that and you get stuck again or not quite sure what to do with that once you start, don't hesitate to reach back out to us here on the show or through CatholicCounselors.com, or check out the book For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, for more ideas on what it might look like to bring that romance into your relationship. But ultimately, it starts with the two of you praying and discerning together about how do we have the marriage and family life that God's calling us to. I say this all the time, but it bears repeating. You know, we can have a marriage with Christians in it, but we can't really have a Christian marriage unless we're praying together as a couple and asking God to teach us how to have the kind of relationship he wants us to have.
And I have to say, praying together also kind of keeps us from, when we approach our spouse with a need, like you're having, Rosalyn, it's going to God together to meet that need rather than what he might interpret as a complaint, right? So if you go to him and say, I need more playfulness, I need more romance, he might react as like, do you know how hard I work on this marriage? Do you know how, like, he might feel attacked.
Her husband, you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas if you go to him and say what you said to us in your email, which is, all of this stuff is so great, and I love you so much, and I'm so grateful for our marriage.
And
but
I certainly don't want to add more burdens to the plate or anything.
That's important.
But there's also this longing that I've got, and I'd really love to pray with you about how to fulfill it.
Will you pray with me about this so we can really be even better than we are?
Do you see how different that is than, you know, why don't you buy me flowers anymore? You know what I mean?
Or whatever it is. You're not fun. You know, whatever.
Yeah. You know, so there's a way to approach this that I think that prayerfully allows us to... it makes it safe to kind of explore limitations, overcome hurdles, even look at mistakes. So check it out. And if there's more that we can do to support you in that process of discernment, don't hesitate to reach out to us, Rosalyn. But I definitely want to affirm this longing on your heart for a marriage where you feel more cherished. All right, 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day. It comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, verse 6.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied.
You know, and I picked this verse because we don't tend to think of this beatitude in terms of how it affects settling. But hungering and thirsting for righteousness means I'm longing to do well, to see God's will be done, right? And to do what I can to cooperate with that will in my life. And seeing God's will be done means prayerfully discerning, what is this supposed to be? You know, the situation I'm in, this relationship, what did God create it to be? That's righteous. That's the hungering for righteousness. That's the thirsting for righteousness, where I see, Lord, help me see this relationship through your eyes. Help me see this work through your eyes. Help me see this situation I'm in through your eyes. And help me to understand what you want it to be and what role I play in making that happen. Settling is the opposite of that, right? Settling is, oh, well, God doesn't really have a plan for this, and I can't really see a way forward, so I guess I'm just going to sit here. That's... Right, that can actually be the sin of sloth, because sloth isn't laziness. Sloth is just not caring enough to do something about the thing that I see an injustice, or I see that this isn't the way God might want it to be. This doesn't represent God's love or God's justice or pick a virtue, and it doesn't look like that. But I'm just gonna accept that because that's not what God is calling us to, right? That's not hungering and thirsting for righteousness. That's settling. And so it's not selfish to want more in this relationship or want more from your work or want more from your life. We just need to make sure that we're bringing those desires to God first and saying, okay, Lord, if this isn't from you, take it away. But if it is from you, if it stays here, I'm going to assume it is from you. Teach me how to relate to that and pursue it in a way that glorifies you. That's the job. And that's how we stop settling in a healthy, rightful way. We're continuing to take your calls, and More to Life continues after the break at 877-573-7825. Stick around for more of your questions after this.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
He was a pope, a saint, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
Pope St. Gregory I the Great is one of only four popes honored as the Great. Among his many achievements was sending missionaries across Northern Europe, especially St. Augustine of Canterbury, who brought Christ to the people of England. In a pun, Pope Gregory called the English people angels. He died in 604.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Life is hard and we have to struggle against so much, including the ongoing struggle against our own sinfulness. And sometimes we just want to say, no more, I'm done. But God isn't done with you. I'm Dr. Marcus Peter, and in my book, Not Finished Yet, I can show you how God has already begun a wondrous work in you, in each of us, and only needs your cooperation. Find Not Finished Yet and all of our other books on the store page at avemariaradio.net. That's avemariaradio.net.
This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threats to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. Beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show titled Stop Settling. So we talk about those times when we're tempted to just sort of accept the way things are, and even though we have this sort of longing or sense that maybe we should be getting more out of this relationship or the situation that we're in, And we're not quite sure what to do with that feeling because we don't see a way forward. Well, we're talking about that today on More to Life. How do you stop settling in your life, your relationships, your work? How do you experience that abundant life that God has in His heart for you? Or how do you support the people you care about who you feel might be settling in some part of their life or relationships? 877-573-7825. You can also shoot us questions at questions@moretoliferadio.com.
As did Terrence, who's listening to EWTN Radio in California. He says, I feel like I'm settling in my relationship with God. I still go to Mass. I still pray every day. But I feel like I've fallen into a routine. I don't expect anything to happen when I pray anymore. I just do it. A friend of mine talks about how she hears God talking to her. Part of me is fascinated by that. And another part finds it a little scary. And another part of me is jealous that I don't know how to get there. Does God really speak to us like He did the people in the Bible? How can I get more out of my relationship with God? Or do you think that that's prideful to even ask? Since we're not supposed to pray because of what we can get out of it, but because we owe God our worship. And that's Terrence in Canada.
Terrence, thank you for your question. Really well thought out. And I really appreciate you kind of walking through that with us and the way you're thinking about your prayer life. So let's see, where do we start? Well, let's start with this. Yes, God does speak to us like He spoke to the people in the Bible, but it's not, you know, like I think earlier in that, was it in the pop-up? I talked about not needing a burning bush, but just a better compass, right? You know, there were times in the Bible where God revealed Himself very dramatically. But for the most part, you know, and we see this in Ezekiel, right, where God reveals Himself in the quiet, gentle breeze, right?
Yeah.
Not the volcano, not the earthquake.
Yeah, the small wind.
You know, that small wind. And so, you know, yes, God does speak to us, but we have to understand His language. And as I was sharing with our previous caller, Sean, you know, the work of Father Tim Gallagher on discernment, he has a series of books on Ignatian discernment. Fantastic, very accessible. I really recommend all of his work for understanding more about how to go deeper in that relationship with God and really hear His voice more clearly. But God speaks to us through experience, right? His voice is experience, right? What does it say in Genesis? He speaks and things come into being. Right, and so He talks to us through experience, and we understand His voice by the things that happen to us, and by bringing those things back to God and saying, "How do you want us to respond to that?" And so by making that prayer part of reflecting on what happens to us, we enter into a dialogue with what God's saying to us through experience and how God wants us to respond to that experience, and so. You know, I hope that's making sense to you now in terms of, you know, like, how do you begin to do it? It's like, well, you begin by bringing your experience to God, like we've been talking about through the whole show. Okay, Lord, this is what's going on. How do you want me to respond to it in a way that leads to more meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue? Meaningfulness referring to how can I use my gifts to make a positive difference? Intimacy, how do I use this to have healthier, holier relationships? Virtue, how do I use this to become a healthier, holier person and grow in some way?
And also, Lord, how do I feel closer to You? How do I experience You as very real and active in my life? I miss You. Be honest with Him that, you know, Lord, I know You've taken some great saints through dry times, but I need You. I need to feel close to You. Show me how to hear You. Show me how to see You in my daily life. Show me how to pray differently, so that I can open up the lines of communication with You. Again, this is not a test you have to take to get His approval. This is a desire on your heart for more of God that can only be fulfilled if you take it to Him. If you were struggling with your wife, your best friend, and you're saying, we never get to see each other anymore, I really miss you. If you don't take that to that person that you're longing for more of a relationship with, you can't fix it. And God's the person you're longing to have more of a relationship.
Well, and here's one other dimension I would add to this. The desire to pray doesn't come from us.
Very true.
So you're saying, you know, well, I'm doing this to pray. I'm doing this. Your focus is very much on what you are doing. And that's fine. I'm not knocking that. But I'm saying that what's really going on there isn't that you're doing these things. It's that God is nudging you.
Inspiring to do those things. To talk to him.
Hey, Terrence, you know,
to go to Mass.
You know, stick with Mass. Stick with your prayer. I want a deeper relationship with you. And he's giving you the energy to do those things, even though they feel a little dry right now.
Right.
Which means that he's also challenging you to have that deeper relationship. He's moving in you to ask these questions that you're asking on the show today. And that means that he wants to fulfill this desire that you have in your heart for a deeper relationship with him. So bring that to God and say, how do you want me to do that? What does that look like? And if we can support you in that journey, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But thank you so much for the question. And folks, if you are tired of settling in some part of your life or relationships, connect with us at CatholicCounselors.com. Let us help you find a good, faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.